Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the podcast where we consider unnaturally blue skies, the car park in front of the cathedral, and grinning, oversized good luck cats as we discover the picture postcards brought in by my guests. And together we explore what it was that caused them to keep hold of these ephemeral cardboard oblongs. Each time, I welcome to the studio two guests, and it's their postcards that act as tiny prompts to send us hurtling towards memories, mysteries, stories, or cul-de-sacs. I'm Tom Jackson, and I'm delighted to say that my guests today are comedian and writer Chris Neal and novelist Stephanie Butland. Stephanie and Chris, welcome to Podcast from the Past.
Hello.
Hi there.
Now, Chris Neal is all over the comedy stuff. He started his career producing radio comedy at the BBC. He's appeared on Just a Minute and lots of other shows, including memorably with the great Linda Smith. And Chris is still regularly to be found in comedy clubs clutching a mic. You most recently probably have heard him on the radio in the brilliant, possibly autobiographical comedy Woof, which I think you can still get on the iPlayer right now if you run to it.
They paid a fortune to buy them out for five whole years. I'm living off the proceeds. It's dazzling.
I'm glad to hear it. Now, Chris comes to the studio today bearing a TW9 postmark.
Yes.
What's that?
Well, TW9 is not anywhere I've ever lived. It's not where I grew up. But I was born in Ealing in West London. And then at the age of three, because there was that plan at that time to demolish great swathes of London to build concentric circles of motorways, which I think the bits of the North Circular and the Westway are the sort of bits that we've got left. But our house was going to be demolished.
And oh, my really? Parents,
yeah, in West Ealing. And so there was a compulsory purchase from the local authority. And my parents bought a little house in Teddington in the street next to my aunt and uncle, my mum's sister and husband. And Teddington's where I grew up, but Richmond, TW9, always felt the more glamorous end of things. And it's where, as a teenager, I went when I bunked off school. I went to school really? In Twickenham, and then on Wednesdays and Fridays, my friend Emma and I would decide that we really didn't need to do Latin sociology and geography. And we would walk to Richmond, cross Richmond's Bridge, go and have tea in the country kitchen cafe at Dickens and Jones.
How civilised.
Mutuay in the afternoon. But her parents were quite rich, so quite often we went further than Richmond. And I remember when we were about 14, actually, we went up to Screen on Baker Street and saw Dance with a Stranger and wept over Rupert Everett's beauty for, you know, a good couple of hours.
Good.
And then came home and, busy afternoon, Mum.
Wow, that's illicit in every way. Fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And then Richmond became, when I was a late, older teenager, where we'd always go to, you know, to sort of hang out. And I still, on a spring day, a day not so dissimilar to today, if I walk along the river from Richmond Bridge towards Teddington, that's a very Proustian thing for me. Very Proustian.
Very good. Well, you can't get rid of that postmark then.
No.
And Chris, do you still send postcards?
I don't, I'm afraid.
Get out.
Unlike every other contributor to this show, I'm afraid I don't.
No, well, people don't anymore. People don't. I'll move on then, swiftly. Stephanie Butland is a novelist. Her novels include, amongst others, Letters to My Husband, The Other Half of My Heart, her novel about life in a bookshop, and Beyond, Lost for Words. And most recently, The Woman in the Photograph, which is a compelling, timely story. The early days of militant, radical, visible feminism in the early 70s And how some things have changed since then. Is that right?
Yes, and many more have not.
It's timely because also you touch on the 1970 Miss World, which has just recently, I think coincidentally, been made into a film, hasn't
it? Yeah, entirely coincidentally, but I'd be really interested to kind of enjoy their take on it because it was such an interesting moment.
In your book, it's a kind of it's a moment, it's a defining moment, really, for the photographic character. Veronica.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. Now, Stephanie comes to us today with an NE65 postmark.
That's right. That's coastal Northumberland. So I grew up in Northumberland. I came to London to do my degree and stayed for 20 years. And then 10 years ago, I moved back to Northumberland. And what I love is the beaches and the sky. Just the big sky. In Northumberland, if you go walking on the beach, A, you need a hat and scarf,
right,
even in, you know, July. But B, if there are four people on the beach, it's crowded and you kind of go home in disgust and go, God, it was so busy at the beach today. So it's just a wonderful, peaceful, nourishing place.
So you've always got a clear head ready for your writing.
Exactly.
Nothing can get in the way.
Exactly, no.
Very good. Now, Stephanie, when did you last send a postcard?
Oh, I send postcards all the time.
Do you?
I do.
Listen to this, Chris.
I'm so glad you're here.
Listen and learn.
I love post. I love getting post. I love sending post. I have friends and goddaughters and godsons all over the country, and I send them postcards, and they send them back to me. So it's lovely. Yeah.
Very good. Oh, well, I'm glad we found you for today. Before we see and hear about the cards that Stephanie and Chris have brought along, I'll give you a quick one of mine. This is, of course, a postcard from the past card, like I do on Twitter and in the book. An old card from which I've taken just a bit of the message. So we've got a card here. It's an Italian card. The date is unclear. But it's a very, very... It's a multi-view, as they say, four images. Impossibly blue skies. So, frankly, in Italy, they might be real.
Yeah.
You see those skies in pictures of, I don't know, York Minster, and you know they're not real. anyway, this one says... the bit that interested me is... Oh, it just seems a rather sort of... brutally realistic reflection on our lives, really. It says, "This is all I seem to be able to manage. A card on holiday and one at Christmas. We must do something about it." This could be a line from one of your monologue-style shows, couldn't it, Chris?
I suppose if it's an acquaintance, it's all right, but if it's your lover, it's a very depressing postcard to receive, isn't it?
I think it's distant friends, isn't it? People you...
Yes, it's the sort of thing you normally say, oh, we shouldn't just wait to a funeral till we see each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So in a way, it's quite good they've sent a postcard. They could have waited till one of them died.
Yes.
That's true.
But also, they're not just thinking it. Oh, God, the postcard. But last time I wrote was Christmas. They are saying it.
Yeah, like, saying
maybe that. That's the cure.
Well, maybe
starting.
They've got to the point of having written 15 postcards when it all gets a bit meta and you can't think of what to say. Yes. So it has to be about the writing of the postcard.
Yes.
There's a moment when you're writing all those cards, you realise, actually, it's okay to write the same message. They're not going to see each other. So you can, you know, you don't have to come up with something unique and personal.
That's true. That's true.
If you went to the museum, you can tell everyone you went to the museum. Well, I've got to remind you at home, the images of all these cards are going to be on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, so be able to see that we're not making it up. Now, Chris and Stephanie, you've got cards that you brought along with you. Cards are plenty, actually. Chris, let's start with you. What's the first card or set of cards you've got with you? First one.
The first one is a card from my maternal grandfather sent to his mother. I can't... The postmark is 1937.
Wow.
And when my grandmother... his wife, he died in 1952. He was very young. He died in as one of the people that died of the big London smogs.
Oh, gosh.
And his wife lived for another 35 years. She died pretty young. But when she died, she hadn't left it to me, but I somehow took it for my own. This collection of postcards, of which this is one, it's a postcard album. Most of the cards I think we'll probably talk about later, but there's this one, so from my grandfather to his mother. And what I'm quite interested about it is that my grandfather is a slightly mythical character. He's remembered by his daughters, my mother, who's now nearly 76, and my aunt, who's about to turn 79, is in this kind of very, obviously very, they're still very, I think his early death was the most profound thing that has affected them both, and that has kind of carried on through the family. But what I'm interested about this card is that he sends it to Mum, but the woman he calls Mum actually wasn't his mother.
Oh.
He was born out of wedlock to a woman who my mum and my aunt grew up as knowing as Auntie, who lived in Hastings, and I grew up knowing as Auntie Hastings and was dazzled the day when I discovered that actually that wasn't her name. I thought, what are the chances she's called Hastings and lives in Hastings?
Wouldn't life be simple?
And he was born out of wedlock in, well, I've always thought it'd be 1910, but actually I found his birth certificate online the other day, and I think it might be 1911. And we don't know who his father was, and we don't really know what happened to him and how he ended up with this family, who also from Hastings, but moved to Ealing in the 1930s. And he grew up with his family as his family. On his deathbed, the hospital authorities wanted to see his birth certificate. And at that point, it was revealed that the family he thought to be his family weren't his family. And the woman he knew as a family friend, Auntie, down in Hastings, was actually his birth mother.
Wow.
So I find that very touching. Unfortunately, it's very hard to read. It's in pencil, but it's from Bournemouth. He might have been there with my grandmother. They courted for 7 years, and they couldn't afford to get married. And then my grandmother found herself pregnant, they had a bit of a shotgun wedding, and this was all a bit of a family scandal. So I don't know. They were certainly with each other at this point. Whether they somehow were on holiday, I don't know. But he wrote this postcard. Now, my parents now live not so far from Bournemouth, and this is a view that I recognise from Bournemouth. Curiously, he also says on the back that he's on his way home the next day, and he might stop off in Winchester, which is where my parents, whenever they come up to Ealing for my father to go to Brentford, which he supported since the 1940s, will also stop off at Winchester there and back.
All the stopping points stay the same.
He also says the thing which I'd forgotten. You were talking about postcards. I'd forgotten this, and I remember this as a kid when we had holidays in Devon. He said, "I posted you some cream."
Oh,
was that
thing where you send clotted cream
as a little gift?
Yes,
but you just couldn't buy it anywhere other than, I mean, God knows what state it was in by the time it got to you.
Very popular, or right up to the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, and I remember getting that from people my family getting that, and us doing it. And of course, now it's not a thing.
I didn't know it started as early as that.
The clotted cream trade. And also, I wouldn't have thought it was as far east as Bournemouth. But there you go. But he sent some clotted cream, and he said he had it's very hard. It's in pencil, and I find it. He said it's very hot, and he's blown a front tire on something. Oh. And but he'll see her the next day, and he hope you are well, Jim. I notice there's no kiss, but I just find that because it wasn't his biological mother. I mean, it was his mother in many ways, but and it's a mystery that has affected my family on my mother's side ever since.
But it's a complicated context for it. But you've got all that context, so the meaning is all. I mean, every piece of punctuation has validity and meaning to you.
Yes, it's funny,
you know,
isn't it?
The story.
It's that thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, he wrote it and wrote it to Mum, and yet someone here 80 years later is going, oh, well, that's something slightly different. And actually, in preparation for this, I went to see my last remaining great aunt, who's 95 in a couple of months. And she's my grandmother's, his wife's last remaining sibling. And it was funny talking to her about, rather than talking about Nanny and this man that I never know what to call him, as he died years before I was born, but calling them Vi and Jim. And it suddenly made them quite real.
Right.
And I'd taken these cards along and I showed her, and she sort of looked at them and slightly, oh, well, yeah, it's a postcard. And I thought, oh, no, because these people were real. And I said, what was he like? I mean, apart from photographs. And she said, oh, you know, she used to love him. She said, he was very lovable. And he had gorgeous dark eyes. And it was just sweet. She actually had this thing. She said, I always think of him as on top of her wardrobe. She sent me to a wardrobe. On top of it, there was this couple of old bits and pieces. And then there was this dusty party hat, a cardboard party hat with a little sort of red feather in it. And she said, so she was 8 years younger than my grandmother. But they shared a bedroom in West Ealing, their house in West Ealing. And she said, whenever your nan and granddad were courting and they would occasionally have money to go to a dance, I would always say, Vi, bring me a little treat home. Because she said at a dance in those days, at the Palladium in Ealing Broadway or wherever it might be, she said you would get, you know, there'd be things. It wouldn't be like going to, there'd be streamers there'd be something. And she said one night, Vi came back, probably at some ungodly hour, like 10 o'clock or something, I should think, and with this paper hat, which my Aunt Joyce has kept ever since 1937.
Brilliant.
And she still has it, which is a rather lovely thing.
Another piece of paper.
Yeah.
Of no value, really.
Yeah.
But it's astonishing. It's a sentimental memory.
Yeah, it is. And I feel slightly teary even thinking about it. The fact that she's kept and survived through the war.
Because that was designed to just be chucked away, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was just a little memento for the night, and you'd bin it on the way home. Yeah.
How amazing. I'm glad we prompted you to,
to refine
that family connection. That's brilliant. Well, thank you, Chris. We're going to come back to some more of your family cards, I think. Now, Stephanie, you've come a long way, so we've allowed you to bring a lot of cards with you.
Thank you.
Where shall we start with your pile?
How about here? Yeah, let's start with this one.
These are well-loved cards, by the way,
see. They are. They've been kind of propped up against things or stuck on mirrors or kind of over the last...
Are you a writer who has cards in front of them at your desk?
I've got sort of cards to my right. I've got... largely blank things in front of me.
Sometimes with good reason. That's your job to fill out the ideas.
Exactly. So this is a postcard of a kind of upside down bronze. Well, no, it's the right way up the bronze pot, but it looks like an upside down spider.
This is a serious museum card.
It is a serious museum card from somewhere in Italy, from Rome, in fact.
Very nice.
And it's to me when I lived in Wimbledon, and it's dated the 16th of September 1993, and it says, "Thank you. Best wishes, Andrew Motion."
Ooh. And ka-chunk. Good work. Part of a long correspondence you had with
Yes, absolutely. When I look back, I realised that Andrew Motion's biography of Philip Larkin was published in 1993.
Ah.
So I think I would have got it for my birthday, which is the 1st of July. This was the year after I graduated. And so I think I would have read it, enjoyed it, and written him a letter. And actually written a letter, on paper.
Proper letter, yes.
Sent it to his publisher, and this was what I got in return. So it's just very pleasing.
And is it from... did he post it in Rome?
No, he posted it in London.
British stamp, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So he must have a pile of cards.
Stash of cards,
But he's selected one carefully for you.
I believe so, yes.
Do you know if the image on it pertains in any way to what you might have said?
Looks a little bit like a sort of chamber pot.
It does, doesn't it?
ancient Assyrian chamber pot, no doubt.
A very smart chamber pot.
Well, the finest.
No, it's too late now. Yes, no, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I just... I may have reminded him, actually, I probably did, that when I was probably about 12 or 13, he came to my school and read some poems.
And I stayed behind
to talk to him, because that's what I was like. So, yes.
And that's a good message for writers. Do those school trips.
Yes, absolutely.
You might get a postcard 20 years later.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Funny you say about Philip Larkin. I was like, last night, that's the most peculiar thing. You've just broken my dream. I had a dream that I went to this, it was like a sort of Philip Larkin world.
Really?
Yes, it was like at the Jeffrey Museum in East London. They had different rooms of what different bits of different houses Philip Larkin had lived in.
Good Lord.
And there was a bathroom and you were allowed to use his loo. And there was a sign that said this very loo seat. So Philip Larkin spent many hours sat on very happily. Wow. And it flushed and everything. And that's what woke me up. So I'm very excited. So that's it.
Was his jazz record collection there?
Didn't see his chest. It was mainly about the toilet.
Go back.
Mainly about the toilet and suggestion of racism in the distance.
Right, yes.
Some women weeping in a corner.
The echoes of unpleasantness.
Yeah, there was a lot of grim curtains. There was a dismal bedroom, I remember.
We definitely give a thumbs up to Andrew Motion then for bothering. That's really good.
Yes,
and well done
absolutely.
To keeping it, because these things can get lost over the years.
Yes.
Now, you've also got some cards, a sort of a triplicate of cards,
a trio of cards. A triplicate of cards. So these are from 1997. So my dad was then and still is a keen cyclist. And in 1997, he cycled from Land's End to John O'Groats with some of his cycling buddies.
Gosh, that's not mucking about, is it?
No, he still does it. So a couple of years ago, he went to, the Rhine or the Rhone, one of those. But I think this might have been his first kind of long cycling trip. So at the time, I lived in Wimbledon and I had two small children who were 1 and 3. And my dad sent them postcards.
Brilliant.
So I
have
three. I have one of Land's End, the Land's End sort of sign with how far it is to everywhere on it. I have one...
He's setting out his stall there.
Yes, absolutely. I have one kind of cartoony one. They're having fun on a Peak District cycling trail, and there's a poor cyclist being chased by a bull, almost run over by a steam train, cycling down a cliff, and then cycling into a wind.
But there's also boxes to tick, aren't there? So I guess you tick them as you go past,
yeah.
Almost.
Oh, yes.
So it's a bit like those ones that say having a nice time, having a horrible time.
Yeah.
Fill in your own ones.
But, yes. But,
and are those places that you should tick?
Yes, so there's Derwent, Tissington Trail, High Peak Trail, Tatton Park, which I guess is the railway, Cheshire Cycleway, Scott Valley Trail and Manifold Way. And then the final one is a picture of a pig looking through a fence, and it says, good morning. My dad famously likes pigs.
Oh, OK.
So,
He lucked in at the postcard shop.
He did. In fact, on his... Yes. On his first postcard, he says, ready to start, 2:30 Saturday, and then in brackets, will send better cards. Very hot with headwind, grander. And I kind of love that, you know, he's you know, he's writing to two small children, but also he's not sparing the cycling details.
Brilliant. So how does do we track the journey through the messages?
Well, there probably were more, but these were the ones that that I found. So yes, this is so. By now we're in the Peak District, so I guess we're well up.
Oh yes.
At this point,
how long did the whole
day two, is it?
No, because it's uphill, isn't it, from Lanzarote?
Yes, uphill all the way.
So, yeah.
Yes. Did you tip off at the end?
I think it probably. Well, this is the 15th of June. I'm not sure that we've got a postcard on the postmark on the first one. So yes, this one says Wednesday. Travel to somewhere about 15 miles northwest of. Somewhere else, possibly Macclesfield. Very sunny, and Granda got sunburnt. But did 90 miles on bike. Love Granda. And then he's drawn a little picture that says Granda on bike with an arrow.
Very good.
Yeah. So, yes.
Gosh, I think if I was cycling that much, my hands would be wobbling
so
much.
Yes.
Much as I love sending postcards, I'd struggle at that.
And I do look like, you know, when I think about, you know, he was travelling with a bunch of other guys. They were pitching their tent. They weren't staying anywhere sophisticated. So we would have had to go and find a shop and buy a postcard.
And the stamps.
Find a postbox and all the rest.
Good work.
And then... Although, actually, now I look, this is also postmarked the 15th of June, so perhaps his system wasn't that sophisticated.
It's a bulk postage.
She might have planned even better than we thought.
This is Tuesday, OK. Very hard headwind. Oh. This is the pig, so we don't actually know where the pig is from. Very hard headwind over Old Severn Bridge, camped at Chepstow in a basic campsite, brackets, one toilet and a tap, close brackets.
Good detail for children, they love
that. I know. Then even better, tent pole broke, so tent fell down, ! And then there are two little illustrations, one with a tent up, tent, grander, and then next to it, there's the broken tent pole, it says flat tent, and then it says grander hopping mad.
Yeah.
Love grander.
That sounds funny, but actually, your tent pole breaking.
Yeah.
That is
horrific.
Not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, no. What kind of a night
I feel that must have happened a while before so you could process the misery of it and turn it to his grandchildren.
Yes. I'm almost seeing the funny side, but not quite.
Right. Yes, I think the illustration, which has got little kind of lines to demonstrate him sort of jumping up and down, is probably more accurate than he would like to admit.
Yeah. He wasn't an artist, was he?
No, he's not.
No, it's an excellent. I think it's really great having this sort of trail of postcards.
Yeah. No,
you will track
lovely.
Me by my postcards. Mm, it's terrific. Mm. Oh, well, thank you for that. I'll do another quick one of mine. And this is it's the kind of place you might have passed through on that trip, actually.
Oh, yeah.
This is Simon's Seat, Wharfdale, Yorkshire. Mm-hmm. Well, a good picture, actually.
Yeah, it's rather lovely.
Very, very, very faded sort of colour. Mm. I don't know if it was ever any better than that. 1966. 22nd of February, since you ask. And, the message is on this one. It's sent to Sheffield from someone called Winnie. You get a lot more cards in the past from people called Winnie than you do now. And this one said, we had Molly and Austin for a short week, and it was nice to see them. Though I was running at the nose, etc., like a fountain most of the time. Got through all paper hanks and onto kitchen and, underlined, toilet rolls, ! So there you are, sort of early...
I'm quite excited by kitchen roll in 1966.
Yes. And, it's very odd. I don't know. But that's the detail
and
they
Austin
wanted.
Could be a person or a cat or anything, really.
Yes.
A car.
A car.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. If I got a card and someone said, I've had a bad cold, I'd I don't care.
No.
It's just not what I want to hear.
And that's a lot of detail, isn't it? A lot of detail.
Yeah.
That, you know, they want you to be in no doubt of just how runny they were.
If they'd started with bigger handwriting, they needn't have gone into
got into that detail.
Maybe that was the early days of disposable, wasn't it? So maybe they're kind of showing off.
Showing off. Look at me with all my with all my handy-andies and kitchen roll.
Yeah, I don't
quite remember. Princess Margaret.
Yes.
I don't remember kitchen roll till 1st of January 1970. No, but I don't, it doesn't seem like 1966 to me. Not that
no,
I'm
I feel
strong memories of 1966.
No.
But...
no. Maybe. Who knows? I feel like when you think about it, it's only a roll of absorbent paper. It's not,
yes, not really that revolutionary.
Oh, I see what you mean.
When you think about it. Maybe. But I am with you thinking, I never knew things were so good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like the abbreviation Hanks.
Hanks.
Hanks,
yeah.
For handkerchief.
Yes, I'm so over handkerchiefs, I can't even be bothered to write them out. In the
yeah, Hanks.
It's all about tissues.
Yeah. Now. Must be busy at Christmas. Thanks for the Hanks.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast, and my guests today are comedian Chris Neal and author Stephanie Butland. We've received a postcard. And this postcard comes from Miss M. Hubble of Oakmere, Cheshire. And Miss Hubble says, these are her answers. One, true. Two, 1963. Well, I'm sorry, Miss Hubble, there's the wrong answers. Better luck next time. Right, Chris. We've now got more of your family cards, I think, from the from the Neal Hoard.
Well, on the other side, actually, on my from the Lauren Hoard. In the bulk of the collection of postcards are to my grandmother's sister Dorothy from her friend Betty.
Okay.
And I don't know if the correspondence the other way exists somewhere out in the world, but most of these are from Betty, who I discovered from Joyce a couple of weeks ago, was very well-to-do, and her family had a very nice shop in South Ealing Road, and they lived upstairs, and she became a missionary. and a lot of these cards... It's interesting you say about the speed of things, because some of these cards... I couldn't put them all together, but I know I've read before where one card, she's obviously posted on day A, it's arrived on the morning of day B. Dorothy has written back and caught the post on day B, and Betty has written back on the evening of day B, and it arrives on the morning of day C.
I think there was a time when you could be even swifter than that.
Yeah, I wonder if there's that even... I read somewhere, I was looking into this, three posts a day, and I thought, my God, if you really...
I think at one stage you could have invited someone for tea, they could have replied... And you could have cancelled.
The best bit.
If I was alive then, I'd have done that every day.
Well, you see, that would have been more interesting. Because most of these cards, I have to say... Now, Dorothy, when you look at photographs of Dorothy, my Aunt Joyce said... Oh, yes, she said she had a sleepy sickness. I kept thinking, what? Sleepy sickness. And when I got home, I Googled this and then wondered if it's like encephalitis. My mum thinks that she had... what's it called? When you have fits...
Epilepsy.
Epilepsy. Okay. And she died Aunt Joyce is one of those people who insists that people make too much of a fuss. She's always been one of those people. So she said, she doesn't look very well in the photograph. She was absolutely fine. She said she was absolutely fine. She just spent her life thinking hammers were blowing into her skull. But apart from that, I said, well, that's pretty horrific. She went, yeah, well, when the war came, she really couldn't cope with it. Anyway, she ended up, she couldn't cope with the sound of the bombing, not unreasonably. But Joyce was having none of this. And she ended up in a sanatorium or some sort of hospital in Streatham.
Okay.
And she was there for a week. And my grandmother and Joyce went to see her. And she said, I'm not getting any care. And she was in a terrible state. And she died a few days later at the age of 27.
Goodness me.
And anyway, but most of these cards are from Betty. And most of them are about having seen them each other at church. One of these cards said, she said, I hope I haven't sent you this postcard before, because, I mean, there are hundreds of them. I said, I can't remember. Hasn't it been cold this week? I have at least sorted out wearing stockings, which I thought, oh, well, actually, that's, I always think about that with wearing long johns, so I thought I would probably put that on a postcard.
Family trait.
I hope you're feeling better, because she was obviously always not very well. One of them says, "Dear Dorothy, there isn't any news to. There isn't any news to tell you, as I saw you last night."
But
she sent a postcard in the morning to say, "I've got nothing to report."
But I think it's quite sweet,
and I think the reason, I think Dorothy's life was probably a bit miserable. I think Dorothy had, you know, Betty's family by Joyce's accounts were a bit better off, and a lot of these cards are of stills from Snow White.
Ah.
And Snow White, actually, I discovered, was released in Britain 82 years ago today, March the 12th.
Today that we're recording. What an amazing coincidence.
And all these postcards are from 1938, and they're of scenes from Snow White. And it's funny, isn't it? When you look back, but one of these is from later in the year, so they do go. This one is from the 25th of November. And my first, which was the one talking about wearing stockings... And my first feeling was, what, no mention of Kristallnacht?
Well,
that's the thing. You know, you look at history as if it was somehow, this was this awful thing that happened somewhere else. You probably weren't even aware of it. And actually, I've spent the last 4 years utterly obsessed and utterly miserable about Brexit. When I was looking through my diary last night, it hardly ever gets a mention.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm.
And I wonder I'm not sure that Betty was particularly thinking about Kristallnacht, but, you know, it's not surprising. You want to see postcards, don't you? You go, isn't that Hitler chap awful?
Yes.
But actually, it isn't about that. It's about she's complaining about the trees taking a buffeting on Ealing Green and that kind of thing.
To interrupt briefly on that subject of being sort of... passing history in the corridor rather than seeing it face on. I look out for that, obviously, in old cards. And you'll get the passing reference to the 1966 World Cup. And there's one I've got which makes me laugh, which I've actually mentioned on this show before, but it amuses me, which is some people who said, set the alarm to watch the moon landing on television last night. It's obviously from 1969. And they say, however, I can't remember the name, Dave, switch the alarm off. And we woke up 20 minutes after it was over. And I think that, for me, that sums up actually how we experience history.
Yeah,
and it's out there, but we don't get it.
And also, it can be quite annoying. I remember on the day that Nelson Mandela was released from prison, after all those decades in prison, I worked in the duty office at BBC Television at the time. It was a Sunday, I remember, and it had been a very quiet day.
Yes.
And then they cut away from the programmes to go live to South Africa to see Mandela walk through the gates with Winnie Mandela. The phones lit up. Hundreds of people furious that Antiques Roadshow had been taken off air for such an irrelevance. They were utterly livid.
That's awful. Well,
underpinned, no doubt, by some racism.
I think there might have been quite a lot of that, isn't there?
Well, my best friend Louise and I were watching that broadcast in, I think, my room at university.
We were
very happy to see it.
You sure you weren't with somebody who rang up?
We did not ring up.
What's happened to Antiques Roadshow?
You probably thought, thank God we're not watching Hugh Scully again.
But it's interesting what you say about postcards and history, but I suppose the joy of a postcard is that it's uniquely situational, isn't it? It's like today I had egg and chips, and actually the fact that today I had egg and chips is more important on a postcard than the fact that Nelson Mandela was
released. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're kind of uncontextual like that, aren't they? And they're almost a diary entry. I am here. Yesterday I saw this. Tomorrow I'm doing this. They're quite a short window they tend to describe.
Yes, absolutely.
By definition, they don't have the big picture.
Mm, mm.
But that's, I mean, you're absolutely right. You do have to still look at that big picture and see what was going on in the world then.
Yeah, well, I think, I suppose the nearest to it was that because she was sending these pictures of Snow White, which I guess probably in 1937 in Ealing, or 1938 rather, in Ealing, was a pretty exciting event. And whether Dorothy's family would have ever had the money to go to the cinema, I don't know. And Dorothy obviously didn't work, so she wasn't bringing any money in. So whether that would have been a thing that happened to her, I don't, this might have been the closest she got.
They're so beautiful,
these cards. In fact, she sometimes comments the whole card is about the quality of this card of Snow White is better than another one that she's sent.
Because if they weren't your cards, they'd be quite collectible as cards, I think, those.
Yeah, I imagine they probably would be.
But they're far more important to you as family.
What, compared
objects.
To money? No, not really. So, and then actually, the other one I brought in finally, I'm just because of the longevity of our monarch, I find this astonishing. So this is another card from Betty to Dorothy. And on it is a photograph of the young Princess Elizabeth. So she would have been about 12 there. And I think, oh, she's still there. I think we will have a big sort of psychological shock in this country when she finally goes. And on there's no mention of Princess Elizabeth. But this one has got a bit of a mystery to it in that she says, I'm so glad that you're able to see the floodlighting and that you enjoyed it. But no reference to what was floodlit. So I've no idea what it was that was floodlit. And then she said, and I don't know if this is a non sequitur or if it made sense.
What time of year is it? Sorry.
You can't actually see the postmark on this one. It's very annoying. I can't make it out.
I can't think why you'd have floodlighting in Ealing.
Well, no. And then she goes on to say, I had to line, and this is the next sentence, so I don't know if it is connected. She said, I had to line up for 25 minutes to get into the station, so I wasn't home until 4:35. Can you imagine?
Exactly.
This is very sweet, and I thought how small the world was for some people. And she said, I had a wonderful weekend, but we didn't see much of Weybridge, which was a bit of a shame.
That's a great line. We didn't see much of Weybridge.
Which she missed. Bless her.
Oh, I know. There's Dorothy sitting in the house, in their house owned by the Salvation Army in West Ealing, thinking, lucky cow, Weybridge and floodlighting.
Yes. Floodlighting.
Yeah, I don't know what it would have been. She's saying that Dorothy saw the floodlighting, so it must have been fairly local. But what that had to do with the train station, I don't know.
I did see a reference to floodlighting on a card from the 60s, and they were I think they meant in that case the Christmas lights in Regent Street.
And they said,
have you seen the floodlight? But I think that's one person getting it wrong rather than.
I mean, can you make anything of that postmark?
Stephanie's eyes are better than mine. I should bring a magnifying glass.
I know. Well, I tried to do it with my phone yesterday, but it didn't actually.
It's like 11:20 p.m., 18th of May, 1937.
Oh, 18th of May?
May. Mm. We'd have to do some digging
around. Oh,
isn't that
funny? And then that is 49 years to the day until her sister died, my grandmother.
Good Lord.
Then May, so floodlighting was summer's night. I don't know
something
what it would have been.
Must have done in the park. Maybe.
Well, I suppose if she's having a jolly down in Weybridge, you wouldn't want to do that in the winter, would you? You wouldn't do that in the best weather.
Maybe at White City or something.
Maybe. I wonder if it's more. Yeah, I wonder if it's like an event in Walpole Park or something. That, you know, they were always going to things in Walpole Park.
Well, one of the nice things I think about postcards is the fact that because people write, it's a small area to write in, you do tend to get more questions than answers.
Yes. Mm.
But that's nice in some ways. You can choose to go down that avenue and explore it, or you can just live with that uncertainty.
Yeah.
Very good. Oh, well, look, thank you so much for sharing those cards with your family, Chris. These are really, really precious, actually.
And they are.
They're beautiful, the Snow White cards.
They are really lovely. And there are lots of film stars as well.
The first big Disney film, or was it the first Disney film?
Isn't it the first full-length Disney film?
I think it might have been. Right.
I think it was, yeah.
And it really hit with a bang, because there was sort of merchandise and cards like this straight away.
Mm. Yeah.
They didn't wait. A bit like Star Wars.
Well, it wasn't, but they only used to come out every 7 years, didn't they? I remember when we were kids, so I was born in 1968, and I remember knowing, like, 2 years in advance when Snow White would come to Twickenham Odeon, because there was no other way of seeing it. And it was on a cycle of every 7 years.
Oh, okay.
Really?
And that was the first one we saw, and then there was Dumbo. So then they repeated them every 7 years.
A repertoire that would
would come through. Mm. And then, of course, there'd be new ones that were sort of filtering through occasionally. But that I remember that was so exciting, because it hadn't, in my lifetime, it hadn't been shown. And so I'd become obsessed with Snow White,
very good.
Which I think
was
very telling.
It's lovely as well that they had such a long correspondence
via postcard. Like, they didn't write a letter once a week. They wrote a postcard most days.
Yeah,
there's
most days.
About that,
yeah.
Isn't there?
And I don't, also, only lasts for a year or so. It's like 37. I mean, I don't know whether there are loads that just got binned that somebody thought, I can't keep all of these. But they are from just those sort of that year, really.
And of course, it's one legged. You've only got one side of
those. Whether even Dorothy was well enough to write back, I don't know. It may have been a very one sided correspondence, thinking about it. Because there's lots about, oh, I saw you at church, you didn't look well, saw you at church, you looked a bit better than you did the other day, this kind of thing. So whether Dorothy wasn't up to doing much.
Okay. So
it's really kind that she was doing that.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It is a kind thing.
As Joyce said, she went off to become a missionary, went to Africa and everything.
Very good. Well, we'll leave them there for the minute.
Thank you.
And Stephanie, you've got one last... We're still on family cards, actually, aren't we? So we've got some cards of yours here. One last card of yours.
Yes, yes. So this is...
Another mystery, I think.
Another mystery. It's a postcard. It's not written on, so I think it's when you could go to a photographic studio and have a photograph taken, but then have it put onto a postcard rather than... And it's of three...
Real photographic, I think they're known
as. Yes. And it's, I would say it's probably 1950s. It's black and white. Three women.
Fashion historians could pin that to the day, I think.
I'm sure they could.
Really good examples of these dresses, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Three young women, one of which is my grandmother, the one in the top left here.
Oh,
the
yes.
other two, no idea. Absolutely no
really?
Idea. Yet it was in a box of family photographs. My mum is kind of the curator of family history, and it's in her box of photographs.
And this is your mum's mum, is it?
This is my mum's mum, yeah. So I took it sort of around the family, and I asked all my aunties and everybody, and nobody has the faintest idea who these other two women are.
So I guess they'd be friends rather than relatives.
Yes, or although apparently there is a branch of the family in Carlisle, which obviously, you know, we lived in the northeast, so obviously the northwest would have been kind of a journey away. So,
well, but you don't blot them from your memory, though, do you?
No, apparently
they look quite
not.
Serious, don't they?
They do.
As your
yes.
grandmother, there's a little bit of a smile.
Yes,
on.
Yes.
Is it just a studio? There's no sort of reason for it.
It seems to be. One of them is sitting on quite an ornate chair.
It's summer, isn't it? They've got summer dresses.
Yeah. Yes.
They could
yes.
be at the seaside. They could have gone to get their picture taken at the seaside studio.
I've got on my dad's side, his grandmother... Her at Southend with some friends in the 20s, where they were obviously a dressing up box of clothes, which were lent to them, these kind of old dusty old Victorian frocks. And there were these three girls. So it could be, obviously, they're in their own frocks, but it could be, couldn't it?
Yeah, so.
The memento of a day out.
Yes, but
it's
I find
very
it.
Very nice. The one with the clearest look, actually, is your relative there. She's fixed the camera.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's funny. I mean, obviously she was much older when I remember her, but I absolutely recognise her. I recognise that look.
This didn't emerge until after your grandmother died.
No, it was just in a box of things.
So you could never ask your grandmother.
I asked my mum, but we've got no. My mum's kind of traced our family tree, but we couldn't work out who these people might be.
If they are friends, well, it'd be very, very hard to find, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Sort of people you might bump into on Weybridge, you know. It's a weekend out, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the bits you hadn't explored.
Yes. But no, I find it interesting because this is very much, you know, my mum was one of five and her parents were one of, you know, I think my granddad was one of 13 and my grandmother was one of three. And this great kind of sprawling family. And we have this great sprawling box of bits of paper and photographs and things, which is kind of our history. And then my dad was an only child. And I've just brought for a comparison, really, a photograph from his side of the family, which is a sort of mountain of people sitting on a rock, and we're looking behind a sort of what looks like a kind of apocalyptic preacher. And yes, I can't imagine, there must be a couple of hundred people in this photograph. There are two at the top, they've got a little cross on top of them. And then if you turn it over, it says on the back in my grandmother's lovely handwriting, Dad and Mum, Albert and Louise Dobson, Devil's Causeway, near...
Portrush,
yep, Ireland. So, you know, this is the level of family history we get at the other side of the family. My grandmother who recorded, and we used to laugh about her putting crosses above people, but now you just think, oh, well,
that's handy.
Actually, that's really handy. She was really looking forward and thinking, well, there will be a time when people are looking at this photograph of 200 people and thinking, why should I be looking at this?
Yeah, which one am I meant to be interested in?
Can you spot your grandparents? Are they both in it, your paternal grandparents?
They're the ones with the crosses, mysteriously.
Oh, they're... Do you know, when you said crosses, was that...
You meant like a church cross.
I thought you were holding sort of holy cross.
No. My grandma blithely drew on all photographs. Some of them got arrows on.
That is astonishing, isn't it? That's an amazing photograph.
Yes, it is.
It is a church group of some kind, isn't it? It feels like it.
Feels like it's definitely got that sort of vibe, hasn't it? So maybe,
Only religion would make you bother to get together and do that properly.
Yes.
Is that Northern Ireland, Portrush?
I thought it was.
Is that where your grand?
No. There's no connection at all.
They just went for the weather.
They went to make a human pyramid on the Devil's Causeway.
That is amazing. Yeah, that's a wonderful photograph.
But we're looking at photographs here, and of course. You have a particular interest in photographs, Stephanie, with portrait photographs, with you know what you were doing in looking at and discussing in the women in the photograph, where you kind of look at the idea of photography and portrait photography,
and
the intrusion of it and the importance of it. And
you
must have reflected on this a lot in recent years.
I did. Well, I was my dad actually is a very keen amateur photographer, and when I was growing up, he had a darkroom in the loft of the house.
Oh, lovely!
So I grew up sort of knowing and understanding what photography was and how it all worked. And but then when you see digital photography coming in, and when you know I've got 9,000 photos on my phone, and you know it's
don't
just
bother. I don't want
ridiculous.
To see them.
And I was thinking about how a photograph has gone from being a precious, unique, special thing that captures the moment to just something that is so utterly, utterly throwaway. And I was thinking about if you are the photographer and you are the only photographer and you have the only camera, then the photograph you take becomes the truth.
Right, because you're the one doing it.
Because you're the only one doing it. It's not like we've got 600 different mobile phones all took a photograph of this incident and we can piece it together. So that was what I was thinking about when I was thinking about the woman in the photograph of you know what photographs tell us and what they hide, I suppose.
It's funny as well, so you don't have to go back very far to find that the record of whatever it may be is surprisingly limited.
Yeah,
you know, you watch. A BBC programme about the swinging 60s, and you're going to see those same shots of that guy in that jacket going down Carnaby Street, because there aren't 500 clips of these things. There's six, and they use the one that's in focus.
So
that may change now in the digital world, except all our digital stuff is probably all going to disappear and then we'll have nothing. Don't you think? I mean,
there's nowhere it's all held anywhere, is it? I mean, sending text messages, which would have been the equivalent to these postcards, you know, a conversation that no one's going to be holding onto those 80 years from now.
No, Putin can't be reading them all. I mean, he'd be very bored. Another one has come in.
I can't remember where it was. I did have a conversation recently with somebody who said that they kept all of the text messages from the early days of their relationship with their now husband.
Oh,
they wrote
nice.
Them all down in a notebook, because I'd forgotten this. There was a time when you had a mobile phone, but it only had the memory for 10 text messages.
Oh, gosh.
And then if you wanted to get any more, you had to delete them. So she's made a kind of physical record.
Wow.
That's what reminded me. When we had email introduced at the BBC in the mid-90s, my lovely boss at the time, Jonathan James Moore, didn't really understand what this was, but it was insisted that he had to start using email rather than sending memos around. So we all received a memo one morning to say that Jonathan would be sending us an email that afternoon.
Well, you used to have that thing, are you on email? You know. But I think we're in incredibly, although we all think we're very adept with the digital world, I think we're in such an early moment of it, and we're so bad at it and so irresponsible with it and unsafe with it.
Yes. Well, I think there were 40 years between the invention of the printing press and the first book. So there were 40 years when there was this invention, and we're kind of figuring out what to do with it. That's where I feel we are with the internet. It's like, we've got it. We're all using it frantically. But at some point, somebody's going to go, can you believe people used to send those things called emails?
Oh, you think it'll be much more sophisticated?
Yes, well, I hope so.
I think it's more
worrying about what other things that people have been sending each other. That's the I think the emails will be like, oh, that's the Ladybird book end of things.
Yes. No, I love what the digital domain offers us, as far as I understand it. I think it's terrific.
Yeah.
And I literally can't imagine not being connected.
No.
That's a bit scary. That you know, it's not just about whether we had kitchen roll in 1966. I can't imagine not sending text messages or not being able to take a picture on my phone. All those things. Twitter, which is
I look back
I've had
and
great
think,
fun
oh, I used
with.
To read a lot more.
Did you?
Definitely used to. But then when I think about, you know, going to work every day, well, I didn't have a phone to look at. I didn't even listen to me. You'd read a book.
Yeah, on
the bus or the train.
That's true.
I read so much more than
a
I would do.
A commuting read.
Yeah.
And now it's a commuting podcast, I hope.
Beautifully done.
Well, that sounds like a good place to thank you both for bringing these cards. These have been really interesting. I mean, we've had bicycle trips. We've also had a lot of personal family stuff, which I really appreciate because these are stories that belong to you, but you've shared them with us. So thank you for sharing them with me and with our listeners. Another reminder for everyone at home, you'll be seeing images of these on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, including the relatives and the pig and the Snow White. And one last one from me in the past postcard style. This is a bridge. It is. Can you tell me which bridge that is?
Is that Lambeth?
It is Lambeth Bridge, correct.
It's got a nice beveled edge as well.
It has. Yes, a deckle edge, as I believe it's
deckle
known.
Edge.
Oh, that's
excuse
lovely
me.
Near that.
1965. Just the year before a kitchen roll came in.
Recycled postcards, that's where they went.
So educational.
This is postmarked from Brockley, southeast London, and going to Glasgow. Now, what did I find interesting about this? Nothing at all. No. It said, "Dear friends, I had a lovely journey, and now I am here with friends who are very good to me. But I shall not come to Scotland. It is such a long and costly journey, I just cannot afford it. Please do not be angry with me."
Wow, that's so sinister. And those friends in Brockley sound like they've got them in a cellar somewhere.
Well, I was just thinking they're having such a good time in London.
Do you think it sounds like that? I think they sound like they've been kidnapped.
You think it's,
yes, there's yes, a code coded. In there yeah. somewhere, isn't
My it? Friends are very good to me, but I shan't be travelling anywhere. Broccoli's got it all.
Weirdly, as we started with Larkin and your bizarre dream, my daughter lives in Broccoli.
So, oh, does she?
Yeah.
Very good.
And it's funny, it's one of those places, when I live not far from Broccoli in Peckham Rye, and Broccoli is one of those places that that's the earliest mention I've ever heard of Broccoli in all historical records. I don't think it existed until about 1990, and there it is in the 60s. It's one of those places people go, oh my God, you've not moved to Broccoli, it's lovely. But there used to be nothing in Broccoli, and now it's quite fashionable.
Well, my father went to school in Broccoli.
Oh my God, so you're going back even further.
Yes, considerably further. Very good. Well, before we let Chris and Stephanie back out into a very nice, actually, Soho afternoon, I've got one more postcard for you both to have a look at, if I've got this right. Don't know if you've seen one of these before. Perhaps you can tell me what we got here.
Oh, is it a...
Wow.
Do you want to play it? Is it a song?
Oh, look, it's that. Is it a single?
Can we share the picture with the listeners? What are they seeing?
Oh, so we're seeing a woman in a... carrying a...
Well,
a
sort of slightly campy, militaristic, yes. sort of French gendarme, but also slash stripper.
Yes,
kind
I was
of outfit.
Say, I think it's, yes,
if a man was wearing it, he'd definitely be a drag queen.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a woman
yeah.
wearing
absolutely.
It.
Those feathers are excellent. She's got excellent feathered
hair. A lot of feathers at the top, and a huge sort of rather elegant rifle-y type thing
yes,
in her left hand that she's sort of leaning on like a walking stick.
Yes. But as you were rightly pointing out, Stephanie, this is not a normal postcard.
No, so if you...
Well, there's a hole in the middle
see.
As
there's
well.
A hole in the middle, yeah. And there's a bit where the light falls differently, where it's kind of grooved.
Yes,
so
it's like a single.
I wonder whether it's a single.
A single. And I remember actually as a kid having those very sort of sometimes you'd get kind of singles that were different colours or very floppy,
yeah.
kind of
flexi-discs.
Yes, flexi-discs.
Well, this is definitely a postcard. Mm. It's got room for a stamp.
Yeah.
Now, if we ask young Tom Berry very nicely, he might be able to do something with the technology and we can hear it. Ooh. Quite a well-known tune.
So it turns out that rifle is a whistle.
Yes, yes.
So that's kind of bogey, isn't it?
It is, yeah. This is like, yeah. which I remember from Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Yeah. She wasn't in there.
No, it was Alec Guinness, surely.
Unless it's Alec Guinness on a very pretty day.
Very versatile actor.
Lovely legs.
Well, I always say the same thing. Not bad for a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, no,
that's pretty amazing. Good quality. I don't know if it's stereo.
Yeah, no,
it's in both ears.
Mm, definitely.
I don't think it is stereo, is it?
No, I don't think so.
No, but it's.
Stereo
but it's,
came in the same time as kitchen rolls.
But no, it has got a lovely kind of depth of sound.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
But I'm very mystified what that image has got to do with Colonel Bogey.
Nothing. But as you know, the front of a postcard very often has nothing to do with the message, so.
That's true.
Well, as the cardboard lady in blue continues to rotate at exactly 45 revolutions per minute, that's it. for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts, Chris Neal and Stephanie Butland. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. See more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me at Past Postcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardourstudios.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.